We are continuing our shiurim in the thought of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and today we're speaking about what is incredibly important. Last week we spoke about how Rav Moshe felt a certain achrayus, and for Rav Moshe the role of leadership and responsibility, and the need to feel that sense of, on the one hand, who am I to be able to have a say in a variety of issues, on the other hand, who else? And that there is a certain kind of achrayus that a person undoubtedly is supposed to feel. What I want to speak about today relates to the way that Rav Moshe paskened. In many ways, we're going to contrast it with the way that Rav Ovadia Yosef paskened. They're two very, very different poskim. Using them as contrast is something which is done often. We'll try to do so in a way which is good. I should point out that speaking of Rav Moshe on this and speak about Rav Ovadia on this, really to do it well would require a whole lot more time than we have. But I want to try to be able to talk about at least some basics and to try, to the best of my ability, to help us sensitize ourselves to different things. What I do want to say, just by way of Hakdama, I think a couple of things that are very, very important. We often speak about the psakim of Rav Moshe or the psakim of Rav Ovadia, the psakim of a variety of different poskim. But it's very, very helpful sometimes to not just talk about their conclusions or this raya or that raya, but just take a step back and ask the question, how are they coming to their psak? How are they coming to decide what to do and what not to do? They're going to do this in very, very different ways. We're going to try to understand a little bit their orientations. We'll try, to the best of our ability, to put this through the lens in a certain perspective of Torah Samachshava, if we're able to. Understand where Rav Moshe is coming from and where Rav Ovadia is coming from. To be able to appreciate who they are and what they really do. I'm going to first start speaking about Rav Ovadia and how he did it. One of the reasons why they're great to talk about, Rav Ovadia and Rav Moshe, this is just good to know, they both tell you how they paskin. It's not just you have to like read their tshuvas and try and extract principles. They write a lot about how they think you're supposed to paskin, how they think you're supposed to go about relating to halacha. And again, a lot of very, very important Torah here that's going to impact the way that you're supposed to, I believe at least, relate to psak. So let's try to unravel a little bit as to who Rav Ovadia was and what Rav Ovadia did. We'll speak about some of the criticisms of Rav Ovadia and why some were very much not into some of his psakim and the way that he paskined. And we'll speak about the same thing with Rav Moshe to be able to appreciate their differences. In many ways, Rav Ovadia and Rav Moshe, I should point out now, which we're not going to develop at all, don't stand in a vacuum. Rav Moshe, in many ways, this is not entirely true, but it's good enough. Rav Moshe, in many ways, represents a certain kind of Ashkenaz, a school of psak, the way that, in the world of the Marshal, and the way that, just in the Ramah, the way that Ashkenazi postgame in general functioned. Not just like he posits like the Ramah, the style as to how he thought you should do it. And Rav Ovadia, in many ways, much more in the realm of the psakim of many of the Gedolei Sfarda, although also in a bit of a different way. But start like this. For Rav Ovadia, we got to unravel a couple different steps as to how Rav Ovadia paskined. In many ways, I think there are two pictures that, if I remember correctly, one of Rav Ovadia, one of Rav Moshe, that each very nicely represents, in a certain sense, their Derech Halima. There's a picture, I believe, Rav Ovadia learning. The picture of Rav Ovadia is him learning with like tons of Sfarim opened up in front of him. And some of the classic Sfarim of Rav Moshe involve Rav Moshe sitting there with the Gemara open in front of him and not the same sort of a range. So let's use that as a way of unraveling things. The Gemara Maseches Horios tells us a debate as to who is Adif. Who is better, the Sinai or the Oker Harim? Is it better to be a person who's Oker Harim? Is it better to be a person who is so innovative in their Svara? It's so powerful. They are, again, the big Baal Mechadesh. Or is it better to be, in a certain sense, a Sinai? A person that just knows massive amounts of Torah. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that the Sinai, the one who knows more, is better. That is the person who is who's considered to be more authoritative. The Sinai is Adif. Rav Ovadia, in his Hakdama to Yabia Omer, in his Hakdama to his Tshuvas, talks a lot about how he believes you should paskin, and he starts with this Gemara. That the Gemara tells us, Rav Ovadia, when you want to start paskining, greater than the huge Baal Mechadesh is the person that knows lots of Torah. For Rav Ovadia, mastery of Torah knowledge is where you start. He quotes Rav Shlomo Kluger wrote that Bizman Hazeh, that's no longer true. Bizman Hazeh, the one who can be Mechadesh, is greater. Sfarim are written down. We have access to lots of Sfarim. We don't need to memorize that much. Rav Ovadia points out, I don't think that's true. I think you have to be able to memorize large amounts of Torah. That's step one for Avadia. Now, many people are going to agree you have to know lots of Torah. The question is, what kind of Torah do you have to know? So for Rav Avadia, and this is clear, this tshuva is in Yabia Omer, and all you have to do is open up any of the tshuvas of Rav Avadia. Knowledge means not just Gemara and Rishonim, not just Shulchan Aruch and standard Nosei Kelim. For Rav Avadia, what it really means is you have to know a heavy dose of Achronim, of Achroni Achronim. Contemporary Achronim, you have to know. Sfarim that we haven't necessarily heard of, new Sfarim that have put out by people less chashuv than Rav Avadia. Rav Avadia is still going to quote those poskim because for him, the most a significant question, now you do have, as is clear in source number 4 in this year, for Sakdam Nebiya Omer, you do have the authority to argue with other Achronim, but for Rav Avadia, the starting point is always going to be a heavy dose of what do people say on this topic. That's the starting point. When you learn Rav Avadia, and this goes one step further, he's not like many poskim, for Rav Moshe, a lot of the tshuva is grappling with rayas from Gemara and rayas from different Rishonim, and just stop quoting, he says this, and he says this, and he says this, and he says this, is not what's really going to be there. For Rav Avadia, when he paskins, we'll speak about why this may be in a little bit. For Rav Avadia, when he paskins, what he's going to do is he's going to have tshuvas. I wish I had a... For Rav Avadia, you know what? I do have a Yabia Omer here. I'm going to open it up at random, and we'll just start reading, and we'll get a handle for things. We are in Or HaChaim, Simon Mem Gimel. The topic is, something about the, in the time of the British mandate over Yerushalayim. I don't know. Let's just start reading a little bit. I'm going to skip some of the quotes. For Iti B'chlizia Rash Megill, Daf Dalam and Aleph. Kyoti Bo Kasav, Ha Ritva Megillah based on base. The Esra Kakas of Harokeach. This is all the same thing. I'm Bichdushi Ha Or Sameach. I'm Bishuas Yaakov. It was Shut based on Tali. It was Shut Devar Yoshua. By Amash Kasab Shut Yabia Omer Chayel Dalit. That would be himself quoting himself. But a lot of it is just like a pure citation of tons and tons of Achronim and what exactly they're going to say. If you see here, like, you don't want to have to keep reading this. Rav Avadia quotes just tons and tons of Achronim. And he quotes tons of Achronim that in many ways are not what we would buy in B'tshuvas Shem Aryeh, B'kasav Baal Ha'itr, B'kasav B'shirach B'nei Anya, V'chein Yas Harav Pri Hasadeh Chilak Aleph, B'kam Ra'isi B'shut Chunya D'chayeh, V'chein Pshitalei L'Rav Yalkar Har Gershoni, B'kak Pasad B'shut Olas Yitzchak, B'kasav Hagon Ha'aderes, B'kasav Asdei Chemek, B'kasav Ha'arach HaShulchan, V'chulei. That's how Rav Avadia tends to function. Now, if you pay attention, he's not just quoting a lot of obscure people, a lot of temporary Achronim, or Achronim in the last couple centuries, whatever it may be. He's also not really dealing as much when he quotes them a lot with all their different rayas. In many ways, authority, the person who says it has a degree of authority. I don't have to grapple the same way with all the proofs. In many ways, it's about finding the authority and going that way. In that sense, like he writes in Yechav Adas, in Chelak Hei, it's like when the Shulchan Aruch paskin. Shulchan Aruch, Rambam, Rif, and the Rush, and we're going to paskin like whenever two of them hold one way, we're going to paskin like those two. For Avadia, it's very much about authority, who says it, and how many people say it. It's something which is a huge factor for Avadia. Who is saying it, how many people are saying it. Avadia also gives enormous authority, dafka, to the Shulchan Aruch. Even if the minhag in Klal Yisrael is different, Avadia is always going to paskin like the Shulchan Aruch in a way which even argue with classic Sfar Psak in many ways. Avadia was very, very innovative. But for him, it's always about, you know, how do we paskin, how do we do it, and finding new people that do so. Rav Avadia also happens to be someone who is, by his nature, very makel. Rav Avadia claims that he comes from the world of that the Sfardi rabbinate. This is right before he became chief rabbi. He said that the Sfardi chief rabbinate in general follows more of the approach of Beis Hillel. Our goal is really to be as makel as possible. While he does have chumras, as an example, you can't wear shetels and the like. Rav Avadia does have chumras. In general, Rav Avadia tends to be fairly makel, in particular in issues of yichas, of agunas and mamzer. Rav Avadia is exceptionally makel. Professor Mark Shapiro wrote an article about Rav Avadia years ago. He quotes here a line that when he, the Chazanish, Rav Avadia also viewed those who have official positions of psak. But one thing he said about the Chazanish was he loved to be machmir, adding chumras, agabi chumras. The Chazanish was, Ashkenaz, too many chumras, vibe with the person who in his own way, in many ways, was very, very makel. That's how he did it. Again, in certain areas, some areas less so, but they're very makel. But it's all about collecting information. It's about holding in achronim, because the goal is they have the authority, and we have to go from there wherever we can. If you're talking about it from a perspective of machshava, where this is coming from, why you'd want to do this, in many ways, if you embrace a particular model of Yiridas Hadoros, this makes an enormous amount of sense. An enormous amount of sense. Because if, who am I to argue with people of generations ago without lots and lots and lots of people who are backing me up? I can't do, in a certain sense, I have to use all of what they did. The way Rav Avadya, I believe, in one place says it, it's a very famous mashal that comes from the philosophers. Tovas Rid, I believe, quotes it even in a tshuva. Some of us may know it from a movie or two. To be dwarfs standing on the shoulders of giants. That even though they're giants and they're greater, so what does it mean that I can stand on their shoulders? So the dwarf can see further than the giant if he's standing on their shoulders. On his own, he can't see that far, but on their algabe, their shoulders, he can see much further. What that means, if Rav Avadya, in a certain sense, in the world of psak, is as follows. I can't. They're greater than me. What I can do is I can collect all of what they say. I can build on top of what they say, and then I can be able to just then maneuver based on all things they say. But for Rav Avadya, a lot of his tshuvas are going to be about questions that have already been asked, and lemashal. Should I wear my tzitzis out or not wear my tzitzis out? It's not the heaviest shaila in the history of Klal Yisrael, although sometimes maybe like the beginning of our year in Israel, it feels like a very like weighty shaila. It's not a mamzer or a guna level shaila, whether it's that. So you have a shaila like that. So Rav Avadya is going to primarily just quote lots of people. They all say in. They all say out. The classic Sfar Psak is this. You have machlokas between a lot of Rav Avadya also is klali hapsak. For Rav Avadya, a lot of it's reflected. The mekubalim say this and the poskim say this. And I'll speak about, well, in the machlokas between mekubalim and psak, how do we hold? Not the rayas of should you wear them at or not wear you at, but when we have the machlokas, so who do we hold like? The mekubalim or the poskim? And how are you going to do it? In a machlokas between, some poskim say make a bracha on this. Some poskim say don't make a bracha on this. If the minig is not to make a bracha, Shulchan Aruch does make a bracha, so what wins? A lot of it's klali hapsak, how you organize, how you poskim out different things. In many ways, because maybe I can't fully go and be machriya the same way. What do you do when you have new shilas? When I have new shilas, so what do I do? Because I'm always basing my stuff on what other people write. So Rav Avadya does have some innovative chidushim, but in many ways his chidushim are not classic like brisker or classic lumdashot chilukim. His chilukim sometimes are just are why you paskin like this over that, rove or minag and suffake and things like that. They're kali hapsak things. For Rav Avadya also in new shilas, I have to just build as much as I can off of what people have already said and find the closest precedent and try to compare a bit. But for Rav Avadya, it's always going to be based in many ways heavily, heavily on Achronim. That's the, in general, part of Psak Rav Avadya. In light of this, it is not surprising that you're going to have, and this became at his Levaya, post his Levaya, this became a little bit tempered, but you had many, many who in the Ashkenazi world, in the Sephardi world, he had opposition also because he went against a lot of the Minhagim of the Sephardim and thought that you, like certain Minhagim of Moroccans, when they come to Eretz Yisrael, you shouldn't follow them anymore. We should all follow, you know, Shulchan Aruch. He was very innovative, but Ashkenazim had a very hard time with his Derech HaLimud. I'll give you an example. The example is going to be a little bit intense. Hope that's okay. This is Professor Mark Sperez. It's Orchos Rabbeinu Chilik Hei. This is not like, I don't know if I could quote this necessarily if I was giving a share to the entire yeshiva, but I'm not, so we'll just quote it like that, and we'll see what happens. Only because he takes on strong critique of Rav Gorin, the Ashkenazi chief rabbi of Israel. For Israelis, that's a bit more sensitive than this for some of us. I'm not saying this reflects at all necessarily our at all our worldview, but it's a mucker that we got to give us some insight. Orchos Rabbeinu is the safer of discussions with the Stipler. It's going to get a little bit intense. I hope that that's okay. There was, in different wars that took place in Eretz Yisrael, there were often questions about aguna questions. Was a husband killed? Was he not killed? Questions about yichus and things like that. So the person went to the stipler and told him that in Hamodiyah it says that the chief rabbinate or the foreign affairs division is going to come up with documents saying to these women that their husbands have died, despite the fact that it's not clear, they argued halachically that it really should be so. There was a vat of Rabbanim that were going to be there. So the Stipler told whoever he was talking to, please go to the person who is the Rav HaTzva'i HaRoshi, the chief rabbi of the army, let him know that there are people that are not really going to get a hold of it so much. Try to be mitzareif. They don't refer to Ravadia as a Rav here. Uhosif la'od pam shiasa kol mavadia Yosef. He started gamas gisi of Shomzam Arbach. Hagon of Shomzam Arbach. Vesa Rav El Yashiv. But Ravadia gets called Ravadia. It's called Ravavadia. The person says, I said back to the Stipler. Val ha'arti shaharav Sternbach Omer Avadia mekel gadol ba'agunos kimogorin. And he says, but I said back that Rav Sternbach says that Ravavadia's mekel, he didn't have the Rav, is Mako with Agunas like Rav Gorin's Mako with Agunas. Rav Gorin has a very, very famous discussion. Rav Gorin, Chief Rabbi of Israel, very, very controversial, in particular in a tshuva of his about Amzeris and the like, who is what led to Rav El Yashiv breaking off from the Rabbanut in many ways. So, said the Stipler, try to encourage Rav Avadia to be on that panel with Rav Gorin, that's Matar Agunas, because even though Rav Sternbach said, the difference between Rav Gorin and Rav Avadia is that Rav Gorin, again, it's part of the kula of Rav Avadia they didn't like. The only difference is that Shagorin Bifarhesya Vavadya Bitsina. The difference is Rav Gorin's Mekel and everyone knows about it, and Rav Avadya's Mekel and he keeps it more quiet, but they're essentially the same. The Stipler said, no, not the same. He said, Afa Pichen, says the Stipler, Mishum Shavadya Al Kopanim Mistamech Al Eze Tshuva, after he Misefer Shlom Mekubo Velo Chashav, Kon Eze Mechaber Me Mitzrayim Uchadome. Says the Stipler, the difference is that Rav Gorin just like is Mamish Mekel with no Asmacht at all. Rav Avadia, at least he's Mekel based on like a tshuva. So Enoch Inami, says a Stipler, the tshuva, I assume this is accurate, the tshuva comes from some not prominent rabbi or not prominent sefer, like some guy from Egypt or something that wrote a book, and Rav Avadia's Mekel like that. But at least he like found someone who says something of relevance he's Mekel on, as opposed to Rav Gorin says nothing like that. Now, why do I quote this? It's an extreme critique. I don't know if it's an extreme critique. It's an extreme response to Rav Avadia. But because of Rav Avadia, it's 2 points in here. Number one, the kulas of Rav Avadia. Number two, who he's willing to sort of quote and base himself on. In many ways, it's very, very, for classic, definitely for certain people, it's a big, it's not pasha at all. Now, even those who critique Rav Avadia will do the following. This is Stipler you're talking, I think the Stipler even did, which is to use Rav Avadia's farm sometimes for mikoros. It's like a sefer of Likud. He tells you who says what. I can then look it up, and I can find Rishonim, and I can learn it on my own. I can find posts who talk about it, and I can see it on my own. But Rav Avadia, as far as his analysis and things like that, that is something which is not there, so much at all. It's like I'm going to say an intense joke. It was not said about Rav Avadia. I heard this from a friend of mine years ago. It's an inappropriate joke. I'm not going to tell you who it was said about. But it is it's indicative of the kind of critique that you hear. There are all these mices they say about Rav Avadia, as an example, that they tested him against Bar Ilan, like who come up with more tshuvas. And they say, one way is in mice, whether it's true or not true, how many tshuvas are on this topic? Rav Avadia said 97, and then they checked and they found 99. And the only two he didn't quote were his own tshuvas that were on Bar Ilan. Those were the two that he missed. Okay, no, that's the mice. The joke they say was that about a certain Rav, they say he was a massive bucky, and not that analytical. They say that when it was him against the computer, so he won in Bekias. But him against the computer, the computer won in Ian. That the computer had more, you know, had more svara than that person. That was not said again about Rav Avadia, but that's a kind of like thing which like you'll hear part of the innovative. Now Rav Avadia, though, again, for what he did for the world of Sfardi Halacha is he changed everything. His mind, as far as the photographic memory, he analyzed things, but not in the classic sort of lumdish way of categories and svaras and things like that. Rav Avadia much more is about who says what, and some even the issues. We speak about svaras. For him, that's time of the kra, and the goal is really to be able to do it, you know, as clear as possible. They say maisa over. I don't know if this maisa is true, but I'll say it over anyway. Rav Avadia visited YU, that part is true, many, many years ago. Again, I don't know if this is true, but it's a story which is reflective of something. They say that on the way up to Gif Shir in the Beis Medrash, he asked someone on the way up, what are you learning this year? And they said, Beitza. He said, okay, what daf? They said, daf ya beis. He said, okay. He got up and he gave like for half hour like a lumdus ashir on Beitza, daf ya beis. And he stopped for a second. He said, Akam bitl Torah. And now we'll speak about Howie Paskin. And then that was like his sort of like general orientation. Again, which you get the feeling of. Even when he learned, I would point out, non-halacha stuff, it's always about relevant, like even his Peirush on Pirkei Avos is about leading to more Yerushalayim. It's always about the relevance, not the pure intellectual kind of a study. There's pulpulim and things like that. Revadia is not into that at all. The whole value of, it's not something which he values, and how he defines Oker Harem and Svara is different than how Reb Chaim would define Oker Harem and Svara. But in many ways, that's Revadia, an unbelievable memory, an unbelievable figure, a giant of a posek, one who was incredibly involved in so many issues, one who radically altered the way people paskin, Sfarim in particular, but Ashkenazim also, in so many ways, when you learn Halacha L'maaseh, the Pesukim of Revadia are so unbelievable, and the fact that he quotes so many people makes it an unbelievable resource. Also, Revadia often tells you the Halacha, not only for Sfarim, but also for Ashkenazim. So in many ways, it's an incredibly, incredibly helpful sefer, and it's mind-boggling what he does. Two of the critiques are, is he too makil? Again, the slight blur with that one. And number two, you know, is he relying on so many Sfarim, it's almost like beneath him, and almost, you know, not the way we classically associate it. That is Rav Avadia, but an unbelievable posek and a giant. I hope it's okay. I quoted some of the critique. That was not to undermine Rav Avadia, but to give you some understanding as far as what made him unique and the way that people sometimes relate to it. I hope that was more or less okay. Obviously, Rav Avadia would have responses to all of those critiques, and in many ways, he didn't respond in that kind of a personal way at all, which is part of what I think contributed in many ways to his greatness. Now we get to Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe is different. Rav Moshe is really different. When I was in high school, I had a Rebbe of mine who encouraged me to start learning Yechaveh Das of Rav Avadia. He said it'd be great for improving your knowledge, and it was very, very helpful. Igros Moshe is not as great for improving your general Bekiyas. The way the Rav Shechter says it over, it's quoted actually in the introduction to the Pesikas of Igros, Rav Moshe is kulo chiddush. Every tshuva of Moshe is a chiddush. Every tshuva of Moshe is innovative. The Sfarim that Rav Moshe are going to use are going to be a little bit different. Let's try to develop a little bit what Rav Moshe has. Number one, we quoted the Hakdama last week. We'll quote here from Yoredeya Aleph Kufalef. Rav Moshe, there were people that were very bothered by Rav Moshe's style, because Rav Moshe was the opposite in many ways. We'll qualify that in a second. Rav Moshe was someone that was incredibly innovative, a huge Baal Mechadesh, someone that was comfortable saying things that other people did not necessarily say, and that made people nervous relying on Rav Moshe. He's doing his own thing. Look here, Yoredeya. How can you rely on my chidushim? How is that considered to be okay? Especially shu neged eza achronim. I argue with achronim in new ways. I'll say like this. What? Torah's complete now? You're not allowed to be innovative? We can't answer any new questions. I have to stop thinking on things like that? No way that's the case. We live in a world where it's okay to be innovative and to be creative. The Gemara tells us, he quotes the Gemara all the time in his context in Baba Basra, you have to call shots the way that you see it. And even if only Zev were here. And even if I argue with Achronim sometimes, Mabikach. Havade Rishaim af anu lachok al haachronim, vigam lefamim al ezer rishonim, kesha yesh rayos nechonos, vaikir gam betamim nechonim. Says Rav Moshe, if you have powerful, strong rayos, argue with achronim very comfortably. Argue with, you can argue even with rishonim, says Rav Moshe, if you really have that. Elu ve'elu, we see in source number 9, it was in Dibur Moshe, in Shabbos, Simon Aleph, I just point out Rav Harel Gordon. Where's Dr. Rav Moshe? Did a very nice job. Has a lot of these makoros and a long discussion about how Rav Moshe learned. Rav Moshe points out, part of Elu V'Elu, Dibur Elokim Chayim, is that when you do, we spoke about this last week, even though you're not the biggest Talmid Chacham in the history of Klal Yisrael, if you're a Mora Hora in this door and you work really hard, Elu V'Elu, even if Klape Shmaya you weren't right, you're still going to be, you know, backed up on that. You find it also in a very famous tshuva of Moshe, in source number 10, Rav Moshe Yordeya, Chila Gimel, he had a big time chacham that wanted to move to Bnei Brak. But he was nervous moving to Bnei Brak. When he gives shiurim, he often argues with the Chazon Ish. And Bnei Brak is the city of the Chazon Ish. So can I go there and get up and start arguing with the Chazon Ish? Is that going to be a problem? So Moshe says, I can't even lo muvan shum chashash baza. What? You're nervous going and arguing with the Chazon Ish? Zeu kvodo. It's an honor for the Chazon Ish. People are learning his farim. They're being done in what he says. Chazal tell us they lo ala klal al dasa Chazon Ish. So yimtu tamach chacham sheyif yualav. Chazon Ish never thought we were going to argue with him. Chazon Ish said what he said. Your job is to go and say shiurim and argue with the Chazon Ish. But I'm going to be in Bnei Brak. That's a cover to the Chazon Ish that you're dealing with the Sfarim. So many great Sfarim are just sitting there and no one opens them up. and you're dealing with the Chazanish, and you're arguing with the Chazanish, Rav Moshe, I think that's fantastic. I think that's all good. Rav Moshe is very into publishing. Because for Rav Moshe, it's not about the authority of he says it, and he says it, and he says it. For Rav Moshe, it's all about the Svara, coming to try to develop rayas from Gemaras to prove it. I'll give you an example we quoted this week. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, one tshuva where he writes, the chiv of mechitzas d'oraisa in a shul. And Rav Moshe has a different tshuva where he writes, because at weddings it's not necessary. And he points out different ways where it's not necessary. How does Rav Moshe prove that at weddings it's not necessary? What are the rayas he brings? Three rayas from Hilchos Karban Pesach. From Gemaras and Pesach. That's Rav Moshe's rayas. So you have some poskim who point out, like, what's Rav Moshe doing? You're going to bring rayas from the Gemara, from Deyas that are even like somewhat rejected in the Gemara to prove to us you don't require mechitza from Karban Pesach halachas? But for Moshe, totally, totally, part of the Sinai of how much you know for Moshe is about knowing Shas, main Rishonim, Shulchan Aruch, main Poskim, and working off of that to deal with new questions. Rav Moshe is kulo chiddush. Rav Moshe is so, so innovative in the way that he poskins. That look at source number 11. This is a critique of some of the svarim that come out nowadays. It's a good marim makom to have. Yoredeya Gimel Tzadi Aleph. There was someone, I think, who started putting out She'asa Sefer Bila'as Batakas Dina Me'a Sefer Igris Moshe Shali. A person wrote like an English book where they took the conclusions of Rav Moshe's Psakim and they wrote a book of the conclusions of his Psakim. Says Rav Moshe, Vihu Aser. Af im haya hatargim roi. Even if he did a great job translating it, even if everything he wrote was totally accurate, there, Rav Moshe Paskin's X about this and Y about that, even if it's all true, Shebizmanenu leka misha yochol lomar ulahapis psakim below bir umikoros. There is no one nowadays who can Paskin a sefer, who can publish a sefer, without giving you the reasons within it. No one is so authoritative. They could just say usher, and that in and of itself is okay. Ukvar bikes many rishus. People ask me that. No way. There's no way that you could do this. Lahatika chuvos mamis pasha chu chesron gadol litin hapsakim inch de alma she'en tamin chacham v'chule ani moche bechol tokef she'esh limchos. I reject this entirely. How could you possibly do a psakim without any reasons? There are a lot of svarim put out nowadays of psakim with no reasons. Tons, or with minimal reasons. I'll quote two I have on the shelf right now, both that are there. One is,
why do you have it?
And the other is, I don't know, let's see where it is right now. One is, they put out tons of svarim of,
the same ones right next to it.
No, I don't. Tons of svarim about where Rav Chaim Kanievsky is asked questions. You write him questions, and you respond like usher, mutter, very, very short answers, not always giving you the reason. Sometimes the reasons, but sometimes not always. You have a similar thing here, where, again, maybe it's fine, but there's someone who wrote to Rav Nevenzahl, like, thousands of questions, and that's always responded very, very quickly to him. And he published a sefer. It's not from themselves. Themselves farm themselves have tons of mikoros. But a lot of them here are, you know, this, usser, low kaimel on this. You know, a lot of it's just like quick answers. Lav dafka, they were intended to be originally like, they're not tshuvas farm the same way, but there is this general orientation that certain things, that's in the authority of the person, is there. For Moshe is very uncomfortable with the idea of publishing svarim without giving like the reasoning behind why I'm saying certain things. Now, if Nevinsal may, again, he didn't put out the sefer, it was put out by a person asking the question, and Nevinsal in his own svarim again puts out lots of reasons, but Nevinsal may have said, no, some of the questions he asked me were like so obvious, there is no need to like give some of the background. But for Moshe, in many ways, that's really what it's about. It's about being innovative, but giving the reasoning behind it. From a machshava perspective, Rav Moshe does, we quoted this last week a little bit, but it's incredibly, incredibly powerful. How do you relate to your Ridas Hadoros? How do you relate to the fact that you're a posek nowadays and you're dealing with new questions? For Rav Avadia, what that means, they have to become as much as possible the dwarf standing on the shoulders of giants. I have to get as many shittas as I can to understand, you know, what do I do in this case? I'm not going to analyze it anew. For Rav Moshe, no, that's the Gemara. Ein le dain ela masha ein of rose.
all I can do is paskin the way that I see it. I call it as I see it. I learn the Sfarim. I learn it with analysis. I learn Gemara. I learn Rashi and Tosfos, Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, classical notes of Kalim, and I'm totally, totally good to go. Now, I should point out, this is important. That's how Moshe is often presented. Harel Gordon, in his book on Rav Moshe, he's a very nice person. I once had a Shabbos meal with him like 7 or 8 years ago. He seemed very, very nice. And I'm sure he is. I'm sure he doesn't remember that, but I'm pretty confident it was him. It was someone who was writing his doctorate on Rav Moshe at the time, and I'm pretty confident this is his name, and this is what came out like 3 years later, so I'm pretty confident this is it. He points out as follows. People sometimes make it out as if Rav Moshe never quotes Achronim. And you'll see people who argue with Rav Moshe sometimes, they'll write like, oh, and Kedarko, you know, Rav Moshe is like quotes Raya's from the Gemaras and things like that. He points out, this is just based on Bar Ilan version 17, just to give you some stats here if you are interested. Rav Moshe quotes the Mishnah Berurah over 750 times in his Sfarim. He quotes the Aruch HaShulchan close to 200, Chai Adam over 300, Chasam Sofer more than 500 times. He references, again, many of the great, he is into authority. He says about the Aruch HaShulchan, this is in Aruch Chaim Aleph Lamates, Kvar Hore Zakein Bal Aruch HaShulchan, that once he paskin, that's what it really is. He refers to the Chabad Chaim and the Mishnah Berurah as Maran Dedoros Basrai Behoraz Diani Aruch Chaim. He is like the one who's like the most authoritative. He calls Rav Chaim Ozer, Amud Gadol Behora, Lismoch Alav. Rav Moshe doesn't deny that there's authority. What Rav Moshe does do is he denies that there is, he denies there's unquestionable authority, and he denies the need to always search for that authority as the primary thing to do. I'll give you an example, though, of what I like, of a classic Rav Moshe kind of a thing. The following Machlokas HaPoskim. Can you get married on the night of Shiva Asar Batamas? It is not the most, I guess maybe the wedding halls are a bit cheaper. Have the 3 weeks started on the night of Shavuot Batamas, or they only start the next morning when you actually go and you start fasting? So Moshe, I believe, is Mekel on that question. And you have Achronim, I think Ravadia amongst them, who argues with Rav Moshe, like, what are you talking about? Like, the Chidah holds, that one of the times, like, how can you say that the Chidah holds that it's us that are already from the night of Shavuot Batamas? For Moshe, like, that doesn't really, it's not so, okay, the Chidah holds that, and I learned the Sugya Maseches Tainis differently. I hold that it starts already at night and things like that. So part of the major difference between Moshe and Ravadi is about Bikias and collecting, albeit with some analysis, but Bikias collecting even more modern things. For Moshe, we'll quote postgame, but Moshe is not quoting contemporary tshuvas. He's not quoting like Ravadi will quote like in one of the new Sfarim about Rav Shlomo Zalman, it says there, Rav Shlomo Zalman, this is Ravadi quotes, it says there, Rav Shlomo Zalman, you can heat up like Suf Ganiyo, you can heat up donuts on Shabbos, even look at it, like he'll quote that. Rav Moshe is not quoting like what in the new Sefer called Shalmei Moed that says about Rav Shlomo Zalman and heating up. For Moshe, it's his own sort of analysis, which is going to be there much more. For Moshe, because Yerisa Doros, it means that there is a Yerida, but there's still a charge for each door. And there's still authority. But there's still, in Shulchan Aruch and most postgame, I can't argue with Shulchan Aruch classical postgame. Moshe is not going to argue with Shulchan Aruch because he has a Raya from a Gemara. That talk of the Gra, you know, would do much more. But for Moshe, I am charged to act based on what I have. I'm lower than them, that's true. But my job is to analyze and act in whatever way I can and to base it as such. There are some other minor differences between Moshe and Ravadia. I'll give you a couple right now. One of them, because Lag BaOmer is upon us, which is the power of Mikubalim. How much you factor in Kabbalah and Psak. So some Sfardim Paskin based on Kabbalah, you know, like all the time. Maybe it was Monday night. It's unbelievable. Richard Meyer is really interesting in what he does with Kabbalah and Psak. But some will, you know, rely on Kabbalah. For Moshe, the way that I think some say it, which I think is compelling, I think Harel Gordon has this in his book, Rav Harel Gordon has this book, which I think is interesting, is that Rav Moshe relates to, like, the Arizal as a posik. He's not dealing with the Kabbalah or Kabbalistic inclinations of it. It's like, oh, the Arizal holds this. It's a shita in there. But Rav Moshe is not dealing as much with real Kabbalah when Rav Moshe comes along and Rav Moshe starts paskin. Rav Moshe is going to, again, deal with classical Sfarim like that. Rav Moshe, let me just maybe chazer and end with a couple of interesting points. Rav Moshe and Rav Avadia are two of the greatest poskim of the 20th century, two of the greatest poskim of this/last door. There are people that dealt with so many new shilas that came up, from the most complex shilas, Rav Moshe also, aguna shilas and the like,
That's often who you know are the greatest poskim, the ones that deal with aguna shailas, to the more minor questions. When you wear yarmulke, when you don't wear yarmulke, what the tshuva is about that, and questions that are, again, significant, but nowhere near as heavy and weighty. The way they poskim is so different, and it's because they have very different traditions and mesoras and very different perspectives in what's called responsible psak. When you're allowed to psak, the job is to be machriya for Moshe based on rayas and yesodos. The job for Revadia is to be machriya based on precedent and finding as much as I can. They do have a lot of overlap. They don't always argue, but there are, in general, different orientations. They all believe achronim are good. They all believe that rayas from gemaras are good, rayas from mishonim are good. But how much and how they do, it's going to be a little bit different. Let me just point out like this. Part of what makes Rav Moshe and Rav Avadia such great poskim, and what allowed them to be so successful, and this is helpful to figure out, who are the poskim that are really great and who sometimes the people that write tshuvas that it doesn't necessarily catch on as much. A lot of it is when you look at who's asking them questions and the shilas that they're dealing with. A lot of it is their accessibility from Dalet Kanfos Haaretz. The way that Rav Moshe, the way it's described by Tzitzel Yezer in his Hesped for Rav Moshe, on the one hand, he's like sitting B'dal Amosha Halacha on the Lower East Side, but Rav Moshe is dealing with questions from all over the world. He's dealing with lots of new questions, lots of innovative questions, and in many ways, these are giants of Torah, of Moshe and Rav Avadia, that felt the responsibility to answer questions, felt that they had the koach to answer those questions, felt like it was important to be accessible, to be able to answer those questions, to be there throughout the whole day. The Maaseh say, this morning, say for Shumi Aaron, there's Moshe one time, he got up very early to learn. So there was a guy that, like, a guy wanted to talk and learn to Rav Moshe, called Rav Moshe's house at like 5 o'clock in the morning, speak and learning to Rav Moshe. So one day they talk and learning, okay, fine. The next day the guy calls again, speak and learning. The third day, the guy calls again, learning. And Rav Moshe was a big time. I think Rav Moshe said to him at the end of like the third day, the equivalent of, listen, this is really the only time that I have to be able to learn is this early in the morning. So if you could please, like, just let me have, like, my time to be able to do so, I really appreciate that. But the rest of the day was called Kulo Klal. It was called Kulo Tshuvas that Rav Moshe was writing. And Dibros Moshe, he wrote so much and published so much. But a lot of it's because he felt that achrayis, he felt that in the way the Torah is given over is in each door, you're able, in the dine, elamat, she'en of rose. Scarlet guys, have a wonderful rest of the day.